You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Oh, I can feel redemption on the way.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. So good to be here. My name is Luann Linnegan, and I'm with
James Wrench.
Hi, James.
Hello.
So, how was your week? Good? You had a good week?
Pretty good. Very hectic.
Amen.
Working very late.
Me too. Yeah. So, and I hope everyone had a wonderful week also. So, we were talking about last week the 8th step in 12-step recovery and how it relates to the Word of God, you know, how the Word of God actually is in the 8th step of 12-step recovery, which is we made a list of all persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. So last week, I have a lozenger in my mouth, so if I... sorry, everyone, I'm trying not to cough. So last week, we were talking about making a list and how important it is to put it on paper and to really go back into your 4th step and your 5th step with when you did your 5th step on all your resentments usually reveals the people that you have harmed. It's just amazing how it works, but it does work that way. All my offense that I felt offended by turns around. If we do the work properly, in 6 and 7, we start to realize it's my behavior that caused a lot of that problem too, or at least 50% of it, no matter how I slice it. Even if the person is 100% wrong, if I'm offended, there's something going on in me that's causing me to believe that that person is my enemy. It's not, it's a spiritual thing is what we're talking about. Because it's not, and the person could be 100% wrong in the natural, but in the spirit, if I'm offended, because if the Holy Spirit lives in me, then I have to practice love at all times. And if it's hard for me to practice love or to be willing to love, then I'm just as guilty as the other person in a different way.
Yeah, and as you grow in the Lord, you can they can do stuff bad, and you could do just a little response and get in more trouble with the Lord because of where you're at. Then,
amen. Amen.
Yeah, I had a vision once. A guy was throwing buckets of sand, and I knew instantly in the vision that it was his words, and he's just heaving them in my face, and I'm spitting them all out, and every time I go to say something back, another bucket comes, and it's all the way up around my knees, like 30 buckets. And I'm watching this vision, and I picked up one grain of sand and threw it, and it fell on him and crushed him. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you authority, but you cannot engage with Amen. Whatever they're doing if you're going to walk Amen. In the authority I'm going
to
give you.
That's right, because he has to trust that we can love under any condition. Even in the storm.
Amen.
Amen. So I do want to read Matthew 6:12 to start, because it does say to us, it's directions from God, because he always wants to teach us and lead us and guide us, because he loves us so much. So when we sit with Daddy, the Holy Spirit will interpret or lead us to some scriptures that are being answered in our heart. God knows us. So it says in 6:12, in Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So we need to now go as, you see, the key here is learning how to forgive. And that's what we do in 6 and 7 after our 4th step, after all those resentments, we start to change. So our eyes, the eyes of our heart start to be as the Father. We start to look like the image and likeness of God the Father, the way he created us, in love, in peace, in harmony. We should be wanting to encourage others, love our enemies, and no matter, you know, what's going on. And even if we can't be in the presence of those people because of circumstances, we can pray for those people. And that's love, praying for others. So we made a list of all the persons we have harmed and became, which means begin to be, to grow, to turn into, right, something, someone willing to make amends. And that's to modify, make something true, you know, make it better, improve something. And we want to improve our relationships. How could we be a body if we can't get along with each other? We can't be a functioning, working body for Christ if we don't like the pinky. We need to love every part of our body. That's every mm-hmm. member, you know? And God assigns us who he wants us to be with, okay? So became is to be, begin to be, to grow, to turn. And we have to learn how to, it requires a status of being forgiving to others. God gave us so that we, forgiving. He gave to us first so that for the purpose of giving. So that's what forgive means. It means giving God's love even when we don't mm-hmm. want to.
That's good.
That never is good. That Amen. I just got it.
Praise God.
I don't even have it somewhere. No. The Holy Spirit, he's so cool. Yeah. So spirituality must be the core of our being. We must walk by spirit first, not natural, not what it looks like, tastes like, feels like, hears like, you know, sounds like, but in the heart, the spiritual senses. We have to be in it, the inner man, the true man identity. All right. So the principal virtue we must cultivate. We know that we grow as we follow God's word. We're cultivating God's word. We're growing character. We're growing virtues. We're growing his character, right? From step six, which is willingness, we have to have that already. We can't do step eight unless we learned how to cultivate the willingness in step six to change first. I have to change. I can't change other people. So when I go and ask for an amends, or, you know, let someone know I wronged them, sometimes people are like, oh, it's okay. But it's for us to get right, our side of the street right, so that when someone wants to cross over, they're not going to get shot. It's so that our bridge stays down, as I would always say, you know. And they might not want to cross over right away, but that's okay. It's always there for them. So we want to clean our side so they don't have that ought with us. So we ask, you know, sometimes it's, you know, my perception. I judge somebody. I'm sorry for judging you in this situation. And, you know, would you forgive me? And if it, whether they do or not is not what I'm looking to get out of that moment. It's a confession to the Lord and my heart turning right towards him. So that person, the last thing they remember about me was not me flipping them the bird, but me telling them I'm sorry. And that opens a door for them. Right? So that principle of willingness to change is required for step eight. The virtue, the cultivating of brotherly love. That's what we grow in step eight. But if I can't get along with you, how can I have brotherly love? And it's different than God's love. God's love is, it requires God's love to have brotherly love, because we need that in everything we do. That's why he gave us his love first too, so that we can share that.
This word, like, just understanding how spirits work, and different people hear things different ways, and you can say something totally nice and they can hear totally the opposite. And just because you may not deal with that, you don't know what they're dealing with in the way they're hearing it. And having compassion to realize that. I have that happen all the time. People read me text. Let me read you what they wrote.
Exactly.
And you need to quit. And I'm like,
or even a note.
You want to say, let me read it, and then read it nice. Like, what if they said it like this?
Mm-hmm. Or even a note. Like if somebody writes you a letter or something. Yes.
I say texting is dangerous. Amen. Don't text if you're in any kind of disagreement, because the enemy will eat both your lunches.
Right. So the fruit of willingness should have already been planted. And this is another flower of willingness, to wanting to make an amends. Your heart should desire to go out and fix what's, you know, wrong. Because the Holy Spirit's in you. He's an amender. He amends us to others, to people, places. He fixed broken heart. God fixed broken hearts. So it's a desire that should start to cultivate in us, in our hearts, to want to be one with others. So Psalms 51:12 says, restore, meaning bring back to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. So it's a spirit. And what is willing? A doing spirit, an able spirit. It's God's Holy Spirit makes us able, right? A manifesting of truth, God's truth in us. Make us willing to reveal the truth of who God is and his love in every relationship. That's what that scripture is telling us to do. Uphold us with his spirit so that we can go out and be confident and bold in who he is to be able to make these amends. So willing is the quality or state of being prepared to do something. Readiness, the state of being fully prepared for something. When we will, we're expressing truth, facts about ability or capability, or capacity, sorry. Expressing probability or expectation about something in the present, right now. This is our time, for such a time as this, right now. We want to be willing to do God's will. And it's what he's expecting us to do, to perform his love, his patience, his tolerance, his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace. It's a particular task that he's calling us to do. Reconciliation, right? The ministry of reconciliation. That's what he's left us to do here on earth. He says, I will send you the helper. The Holy Spirit's here to reconcile us to God first. And then to another human being, and to ourselves and to another. You know, love our enemies as we love ourselves. Love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So steps 4-7 is restoration inside me with God. And then 8-12 is outside of me with others as God did in me. I cannot have restoration with another person if I still feel separate from God. If I still feel condemned, if I still feel shame and guilt, there's a difference. Shame and guilt from the enemy, and then there's conviction from God. There should be some conviction when I'm not walking properly. But rather than condemn and run the other way, I run closer to God so that he can teach me and lead me and guide me and cleanse my heart. So the action, restoration is the action of turning something to a former owner. Praise the Lord. He wants us back, right? Owner, place, or condition. And even restoration with another person. You want to own your part and get it off of that person. And sometimes we can't do it directly, a direct amends to the other person. But some of the prayers that we do with other people is, I choose to forgive because it's a choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I give back that person their stuff, everything I'm holding on that they said about me, that they did, all the things that I believe they wronged me. I want to give them back theirs, and I take my pieces back. Forgive me, Father, for judging, for condemning, for maybe gossiping, whatever it is. And I confess that. And then when God sees fit, there may come a time where you are with that person, but you've already had all that healing done that you can now talk to them in a loving way.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do the work. We have to do the work first. God wants us first, fully, whole, spirit, soul, and body. So it's to fix when we restoration, to mend, and we're making amends. We're restoring relationships. We're restoring our relationship with God first, and then we can go out and feel confident to be able to restore our relationship with others, because we're not relying on another person's love anymore, acceptance, security, because we got it in God. We should at that point, right? A thing suffering from damage or fault. So it's fixing or mending something that was damaged. Okay, when we're returning, we're going back to the original, and I wrote here, original creation of God before the fall, as Jesus is and was in the garden with the spirit man. We need to be in that place again, fully transparent, not hiding behind bushes or running through highways, you know, away from him. We need to be in his presence right now, face to face with the Lord. Matthew 5:23-24 says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there, remember that your brother has something, and I looked up something, and I looked up the word ought. It is something or ought against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled, which means to restore friendly relations between me and another person to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. This is important. This is step four, step five, six, and seven. First we forgive, and that's what Matthew 6:14-15, and I'll read that, says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we have to know that before we even go out to this territory, I'll say, in faith. You know, when we're going out and we're testing the Word of God, the faith that we have in the Word of God, we're going to go out and actually do the Word of God, not just say the Word of God, but be the Word of God. What does he say? We need to know these scriptures so that we're confident that we are forgiven, and now we are already forgiven. And now I'm going to offer myself to another person and say, I recognize what I was like, and I'm not that person anymore. And you know, the greatest amends is a living amends. Just change your lifestyle, and people will notice. You know, and when sometimes they think you're cuckoo in the beginning. I know a lot of people did for me. But then I get, now years later, you know, 14, 13 years later, I'm getting phone calls from people that were like, oh, she's off the charts. You know, and now you get phone calls and can you pray for me? Or what does God say about this? Or, you know, I just had a conversation with my dad about a topic. You know, and they become comfortable because they see it's who you really are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like you're trying to convert people anymore. It's just who you are. These are normal conversations now. And they can not feel threatened, is what I should say, when you have it.
A lot of people, they like either don't believe in healing because of whatever their beliefs or in religion are, or they don't know the Lord. They make fun of you, and all of a sudden they end up with some deadly disease, and they come right to you, you know?
Yeah. Amen. And that was like, you know, something that my father and I had a little talk today, and I was able to directly ask some questions about Jesus, which I'm telling you, if this incident didn't happen, it would have been more uncomfortable mm-hmm. prior to this, you know?
Yes.
So what is ought? It's a grudge, anything or something. So when God says if there's ought, that means anything that separates you from God and another person, that's ought. That's not what God wants, that out of the way. We should have total transparency with ourselves. If I'm living the right way, then another person might have difficulty in this area, but I have a responsibility in my relationship with God to walk transparent and to be who God called me to be and to be what I claim to be in Christ. I can't just say, you know, I'm a follower of Christ and then live any way I want. It doesn't, you know, work. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, because I'm not. God knows. But when I do step out of line, or any of us, all we have to do is turn towards him and confess it, and he embraces us. He has a robe and a ring and the fatted cow, and it's all waiting for us all the time. You know, it's when I choose to eat at a table that, you know, looks desirable but doesn't taste very good after you swallow it, you know.
And then we throw up on everybody.
And then we're throwing up, yeah. And then we want everybody else to clean it, yeah. Praise God. Not anymore, hopefully. So ought is something gets between me and God, or me and you. Separation from God, from his love. God is love. So when we're separate from God, we're separated from love. Okay? What is the ought or the something in your life that is causing you to be separated from God or another person? This is stuff that we think about before we do the ninth step, which is actually go out and make amends. So sometimes we have to think, are there things that, why haven't I spoken to that person in years? You know, these are the things, there's something going on, especially a family member. Why, you know, do I get, every time, you know, a cop is behind me, I get, you know, all this defense or whatever it is. Maybe there's fear. Maybe there's some ought there. Fear is ought. It's something that you need to deal with. And hopefully you can go back to 6 and 7 before if there's an amends that needs to be made. Maybe there's outstanding bills, you know, tickets, you know. Maybe before that, you got to make sure that we're looking at ourselves first before we look at the other person.
Some of that stuff you don't know you have, because I had that with a policeman, and I got delivered a fear of authority. And I got pulled over, like, it was a traffic stop in Georgia on the way to Pittery Heights. I didn't know what it was. They got a flare in the road, and I'd never seen one of them, and I just driving through real slow. They all start screaming at me, and I'm like, they say, you know what a traffic stop is? And I'm like, I think I might have said, yeah, meaning somebody pulling you over, but I didn't know what they were doing. They're looking all in my car, but I was kind of getting kind of snippy with them because I kind of just got delivered. I'm like, oh, now I got to learn to pull it back, because usually I'm all scared and kissing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sing the Pleasant Valley. Oh, he's going to Pleasant Valley. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead, sir. Go ahead, sir. Sorry.
Amen. Amen. So when we go reconcile, it's caused to coexist in harmony. That's what Jesus wants. That's what God wants us to do. Jesus tells us to go and reconcile, right? Make or show to be compatible, settle a disagreement as Jesus did with us. God settled the penalty of sin, Jesus, by sending his son for us. So God did that for us. He reconciled us with God, with the Father, by standing in the gap. Sometimes we have to stand in the gap for people too, you know, when there are things going on. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ lives in each of you, who's ever listening here, and you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you received the Holy Spirit. Christ lives in you. The same Spirit that lives in Jesus lives in you. And the same ability that Jesus says, go out and do more. You can do more than what I've done. Because first of all, there's more of us to do, to do what he's done. Mm-hmm. And we have more time than he did it. You know, his ministry was for 4 years, three, right. So he did it. He showed it as an example. So, and then the reason why it wasn't so long drawn was because if you weren't in Jesus's presence, you couldn't receive the present, basically, of healing, of demonic deliverance, of all of that. But now everybody can receive if you choose to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You get the Holy Spirit.
In other words, what she's saying, he only had one body. He
one
was
body.
Confined to one body.
Amen.
Now he lives in
all of
thousands and thousands
Amen.
Of believers, so he can move through this body. We are the body. We're the physical body of Christ.
Right. So Luann's hand is not the healer. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory, that does the healing. So when James does things, or even me, I tell my little nieces, put your hand on your belly if they're not feeling well or something, and I let them say it, or to their mother, or, you know, to other people. It's important that we share that with other people, that they have the same ability, if the Holy Spirit's in them, to heal the sick, deliver people from demonic activity, raise the dead. We all do. You know, raising the dead is not only raising the dead, but because it's been done. I mean, who was it? Wigglesworth? Did he throw the baby?
Yeah.
He threw the baby, right?
He also pulled a guy out of the coffin and threw him against the wall three times. He hit the floor and he finally...
Amen. Amen. But, you know, the spiritually dead, too. There are lots of spiritually dead people in the world, and where they're rising up when they hear Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, the testimony of the believer, how Jesus is alive, how he worked in their life. That raises the dead. Hallelujah.
The neat thing is, if you're praying for somebody dead, they don't have to have any faith.
Amen.
Or if you're rebuking the rain, because unforgiveness, none of that can block anything with a dead person, or when you're praying for the rain. But
Amen. So Mark 11, 24, 25 is similar to Matthew 6, 14, 15. It says, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. So it's almost like, okay, Father, forgive me for my sins, right? But we're not forgiving ourselves for it, or we're not forgiving other people for it. It's the same thing when we ask somebody for forgiveness and I'm holding aught still. It doesn't work that way. or you know, I'm not cleansing, I'm not making sure that my side of the street is clean before I go. Hallelujah.
Yeah, and there's so much sickness comes out of that. It's crazy.
Yep. Amen. So steps 4 and 5, I just want to review how these all intertwine, because we had a conversation about that, James, about, you know, bringing it all together on how they kind of like weave into each other. Mm-hmm. Steps 4 and 5 help us to see where we were wrong in our old nature, our old man identity, in the lies and the deception that we were believing of the world, in the soul, in our minds, right? And then our bodies, like James just said, was being affected because our spirit was dead. We had no awareness. And even as believers, you can have soul sickness and be a born again person, but still be living a dead life. You don't have to live like that today. Hallelujah. So the natural man, the way we talk, walk, with the thinking, the doing, which we've learned earlier, is the willingness, believing our sinful nature before we got born again into a new man identity in Christ as kings and priests in the kingdom of God. So that's 4 and 5. It helps us to see where we were wrong. We write it down, and then we share it with another person. And that person starts to show us, because they've hopefully have a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit's inside of them, and it's the Holy Spirit really in them that's revealing the things that don't line up with God's word inside of us that we're believing. It's a lie and a deception. It's not that none of us are good on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God for the goodness of God to be in us to be good. Nobody wants to be a bad person. Nobody wants that in our minds, but because we fall short, we don't have that. We're not following the Holy Spirit. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Usually the end result is a half measure, and we don't want half measures anymore. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, and a lot of people have their own moral thinking, mm-hmm. that's, you know, when they don't know the Lord, and they, well, I'm a good person, right, and I would never harm anybody, or this guy did this, or I'd never harm a child. And it just goes one step further. The person can commit adultery, but I would never harm somebody, and the person's harming people. I would never harm a child. It's just the enemy will constantly give you the set of morals. Everybody has their own set the enemies gave them. And without Jesus, it's following his morals that he set up.
Amen. And, you know? and in Jesus's, I guess, realm, the kingdom of heaven, there is no levels of sin or colors of lie, like sin, you know what I mean? But there is grace and mercy. God will have grace and mercy, different levels of grace and mercy for people that, depending on their relationship also, you know, like someone that doesn't know, I mean, it's like a baby. Yeah. You're not going to, you know, but when you're walking with him and then you're making these choices that you know, because you've lived right, and now you're willingly going against God's word. For me, I think there's a higher degree of consequence.
Well, definitely. I mean, that's why I always say you can, non-believers, you don't have to lead them for forgiveness, mm-hmm. but you get believers that can't get healed, and everybody tells with their faith, and you know, and I do have a lot of people send people to me, they can't get healed, and it's usually 95% of the time unforgiveness. But it's, if they don't know the Lord, you don't have to deal with this. When you're a child of God and you know you're supposed to forgive, and you're not doing it, you're directly disobeying. That's the most common thing.
And you know, somebody was talking with me, and I was talking with them about just about this, like levels of sin. You know, what's the difference between a liar, a thief, homosexuality, it's all sinful behaviors. We all were born into it. It's not that, you know, we were born into a fallen nature. It's just the way, it's up to us to seek God when we get born again, and to come out of that place in our minds. Our spirit is whole with the Lord. But if we don't continue to seek him first, we're going to stay in that, what is it? Come out of the cave, right? Lazarus. We're going to stay in that bondage and in that dark place our whole lives. So it's not that there are degrees of sin, because God says sometimes, even if you think it, of it, you're guilty, you know? So we need to be careful about our thoughts.
Yeah, and the enemy gives you thoughts, so you got to know
the difference.
What are you going to do with them?
Amen.
No, it's when they come. Yeah. Are you going to meditate and go down the trail? Like, say, lust comes. If you're going to go down the trail, then you're guilty. But if it comes, because stuff comes.
Why am I thinking
The more I start doing deliverance, the more I started getting hit with thoughts I never had.
Uh-huh,
you know what I mean? Different spirits that I never dealt with.
Tries to come on you.
And I'd be like, Lord, I laugh and say, Lord, I don't think that was me. Forgive me, but I do not think that was me. I'd never even have that kind
Amen. But,
thought.
But the fact that you're even having that conversation is the nature of your heart being towards God. Hallelujah. You know, in the beginning, I remember I was like, how do I know I'm born again? He's like, well, you're asking that question. That's a good sign. You remember? You're like, well, that it's good that you're even asking.
Yeah. People say, people all the time, I'm afraid I'm not saved. Well, I was like, that's what the enemy will tell you. And I said, well, if you really weren't saved, he'd be telling you, oh, don't worry about it, you're fine.
Yeah, right. So step 6 and 7 is the renewing of the mind, the transformation of the heart, and the transformation of the heart. It's the new man living. We should be living as a new man before we go. I got to say we're sorry to people. And I say it all the time to my kids. Don't say you're sorry and then continue to do it. It's not believable.
I got caught.
Yeah, exactly. Right? but being sorry, doing sorry is changing first. The behavior, and then presenting yourself and saying, you know, I really need to apologize for this, or you know, and then you're believable because you're not that person anymore, and they could see evidence of it in the fruit.
Can I get a testimony?
Go ahead, James.
There was because people are listening and they may have never heard this. We're talking about the forgiveness and sickness, and I had a guy in my parking lot. At a shop next door, it's a mechanic shop. I got a race car shop. It started talking a minute in the parking lot, and his back was hurting. I brought him in. His buddy walks in, and I didn't tell him what I was doing, but I took his feet, and I was like, "Watch your feet, because they're out of line." I just said, "Lord, line us back up," and then he healed him. And then the other guy says, "Pray for my shoulder," and I said, "Pray for his shoulder." Got healed, and I said, "The same Jesus that just healed y'all." The same God that just healed you also dies, and you'll live eternally if you want to give your life over to him. They did. And then the guy says, I have diabetes, and there's no better time to do deliverance than when someone gets saved, because all sin is forgiven, because they have no legal right.
Amen.
Right. So I was like, oh, perfect timing. You know, it's like, this spirit of diabetes, come out in Jesus' name. 2 months later, the guy comes into my shop with another guy, and he says, ever since you prayed, my blood sugar is perfect. Can you pray for my friend? I said, sure. And his leg and back or something are messed up. And I prayed. I'm like, stand up. And he's like, no change. I said, sit down. I said, you know the Lord, don't you? Yeah. I said, you know I'm really good, don't you? Because even if you just came to the Lord, you get away with unforgiveness. You know? And he's like, yeah, I do know him really well. I said, yeah. The problem is you have unforgiveness in your heart. And I gave him the scripture about the 1,000 talents and the 100 pence, $44 million, $55. And I said, do you want to forgive? God will heal you. He said, yeah. And I just let God show him people he needed to forgive, and then prayed again. He was instantly totally healed. So, see, the two non-believers, we didn't have to deal with that.
Amen.
But they brought their buddy over. It was a deacon in a church, and he's told me afterwards.
And, you know, if you think about it, the eighth step is actually giving a gift to another person by allowing them or giving them an opportunity to forgive you. Brings them closer to peace and God, and, you know, without sometimes them even recognizing, just the forgiveness can draw them closer to, you know, closer to God and God to them. So think of it as a way of giving, you know.
Yeah, and and he knows the spiritual aspect. You can tell he knew the Lord. He knows the spiritual dynamics of temptation and what you're dealing with, even if you don't know it. When you forgive, you're breaking legal rights. You're not going to get delivered of that with unforgiveness in your heart. I mean, that's the biggest thing with any deliverance. Right.
But and in this step, it's giving the other opportunity, the other person, the opportunity to learn or to practice forgiving us. You know, because we've already learned, we should have at this point. And I'm not saying that the things don't try to come on you and, you know, or me. I'll say, and then I for a moment I'm like, and then I have to get right with myself and, you know,
Amen.
And forgive that person in my heart. So steps 8 and through 12 is walking in step with the Holy Spirit. At this point in 8, we should be obedient, walking is taking direction, you know, because we're not that same old person anymore. Now we have a heart for the Father and to manifest his love to others. So this is our walk now. 8 through 12 is walking as God calls us to walk, without the arguments in 6 and 7, like, oh, help me with my shortcomings because I want to hold on to them because they make me feel good. Now you're at a place where you should know the difference. Like, I don't want to be in that place anymore. But I don't want to suffer that anymore.
Biggest spirit right there.
Yeah, self-pity.
With addictions.
Yes, especially with addictions. So James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So there's a promise in that, you know, there's direction and a promise. If you want healing, then I say to you, confess your sins to one another, and to pray for one another. Ask that person to pray for you, you know.
And a lot of the healing scriptures, like Mark 11:23, mm-hmm. 24, the next scripture after pray, you believe what you receive, whatever you ask. The next scripture is, and if you have aught against your brother.
Amen.
And a lot of them have the unforgiveness right after the healing
promise. That's right. And it says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So, and what makes us righteous is living right, one with the Lord, being obedient to his word. And that's the way we want to, you know, walk with him. So love is what we ought to do. That's the only ought we should be doing. Having our life, not judge what others ought to be doing. Because then we got to what? I get these little things.
No, that's good.
Uh-huh. So let's try to have less ought against one another and instead turn them toward ourselves. So let's ask questions like, what ought I be doing when someone's shortcomings are exposed to me? So it's not that it's at me. I'm not that important. You know, like someone's shortcoming, maybe their anger is getting the best of them, and it's trying to come at me. I have a choice. I can grab it and chew on it, yum, 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 and get ought myself or anger, because now I want to retaliate. Or I can say, whoa, 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 and maybe respond it with love, or maybe not say anything at all, or maybe say, this is not the time to be having this conversation, and say, you need to walk away, or, you know, give you some time. It's how we respond to what's coming at us. Like you were saying before, James, it's our response.
Yeah, this,
all right.
That vision. Yeah.
So what ought I be doing when someone's shortcomings are exposed to me? What ought I be praying on behalf of my brother or sister? What ought I contribute to be part of the solution and not the problem? That's the oughts that I should be working out in my life, right? What ought I be doing to improve my patience and demonstrate the same long-suffering, the love towards others that God continually shows towards me? Those are good questions. If you want them, you can call me 631-745-7980 or text me. So Jesus forgave and didn't judge me when I had some ought against him. And I did. I had ought. I blamed God for things and, you know, and other people, right?
Yeah, and if, as far as forgiveness goes, if your relationship isn't horizontally stronger than your, or vertically stronger than your horizontal, then, you know, if your relationship with him isn't, if you have no time with him and you're just trying to read this and word and live for him a little bit, you're going to have a hard time forgiving. But when you realize he loves us and how displeasing it is to him if we have unforgiveness and how we're doing it just to please him. It's like giving him a hug.
Mm-hmm.
We can say, I love you, I love you, I love you, but it's when we do that, he knows you're only doing it for him. There's no other reason you're forgiving someone that's done such bad to you.
That's right.
Lord, you know how this much, but I'm doing it for you. He knows that. So that's really just drawing close to him in intimacy.
Amen. So I'm being called to forgive and not judge those who have ought or something against me. So it's important. This is our time, our opportunity to go and practice love with another person, especially when we know that we've wronged them. I mean, that's a hard time to be able to do that, to confront someone. So Jesus Christ is our living example, our hope that it can be done in the worst situations. And I know, and I'm not minimizing anyone's pain and suffering or situations, but God did it. And he had the worst situations. And he was able to say, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And he bore our sin and presented himself to God to for us that way. All broken and bruised and, you know, asked for forgiveness for us. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, forgive them. And they know not what they're doing.
Yeah,
they know not what they do, you know. And I used to think, because you'd watch like this show,
and they
he's crucified, and you're thinking, yeah, but they got it, boy, when they found out what they did. And one day the Lord just said, I'm not a liar. I'm like, what do you mean? When I said forgive them, they don't know what they do. Do you think I didn't really forgive them? I'm like, ooh, never thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Like he really forgave them people that were killing him.
Yeah, amen. So in steps 6 and 7, we had to choose to turn the mirror. The direction of the mirror. I always say we should have done a group like that where I gave mirrors to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, from sinful nature of anger, judgment, resentment, victim, self-pity, revenge, hate, to spiritual nature of peace, mercy, compassion, patience, forgiveness, and love, and so much more. God's all over the word. I mean, there's so much more that he supplies for us if we choose to get to know him even deeper and wider. And, you know, it's never ending. So preparing for change, a heart action. Step 8 is changing our thinking from resentment. I said this last week. And that's bitterness, feelings of being treated unfair, the resentment, to repentance. And that's sincere regret. And this is what I was talking about. That's where the sorrow of your heart, where true repentance comes in, a repentive heart, right? And it's the conversion from they hurt me to how did I hurt you, them. And that's where the heart, that's where the conversion starts. Then you got the heart of the Father in you, because it's about constantly giving the love. Like, how can I make this better? Because God's always doing better things. Even, what is it? Very good. Very, very good, you know?
Yeah, and if you could see people in hell, it would. You might be like, yeah, they deserve that. Then after about 100 years, you'd be like, well, that's enough, Lord. And like, no, they're there forever. Forever? And he starts,
yeah.
Like, you know, I could work on you. A friend of mine had that happen. He had a hard time forgiving someone. The Lord said, that man's going to burn in hell forever. Oh. He's like, yeah, he should, you know, he's thinking. And he's a strong Christian. Mm-hmm. You know him. And, then he started thinking, forever? Well, like, how about just 1,000 years, you know? Or it's like forever.
<That's it.
laughs> And he said by the end of it, the Lord talking to him, he was crying for him, Lord, Lord, forgive him, forgive him, forgive him.
Amen. So, and that's a good, that's repentance. Hallelujah. And that's a sorrowful heart for another person. Hallelujah. So we preparing for change, the heart action, not head-led action. So 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes when we do confront, we need that confronting another person saying, forgive us for our sins. And it's just a validation or a natural manifestation of what God has done. We're manifesting it in the natural because we're confessing it. And then there's a cleansing. You might even feel even better. You think that, you know, like after you confront someone and you've apologized, you feel another cleansing. You go deeper with God.
And sometimes, like if you're apologizing and you know it's really their fault, sometimes their response can go the opposite. The enemy will work you up. Like, you think they're going to say, I'm sorry too. But they're like, yeah, you should never.
Yeah. And that's why when we go, to our person or place or thing, because we have to make amends to institutions sometimes or whatever, who's ever on our list, we cannot depend on their response to feel better. We need to already have confidence that whether they forgive us or not, we are forgiven in Christ and God loves us. And it doesn't mean that we're not loved or we're not accepted, because if I need that person to say, oh, it's okay, then I'm still looking for man's acceptance, man's love, man's stability, man's approval, basically, right? Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And that's what we're talking about. There is mercy and grace God has for us. But if we're hiding, we know God and we're doing these things, then, you know, we're going to suffer hot consequences more severely in our lives. And not because God's giving us the consequences, because we're living in a curse. We're choosing the wrong way to live. What do you want to say?
No, I just had a weird thought.
What's your thought?
This then there's some stupid imagination in front of the enemy. I just, like, I coughed and I had, I just, this imagination, like if I was sneezing real loud and going, bless you, Luann, are you okay? Like, made it sound like you were doing it. I don't know, that thought went in my head. Didn't really want to tell it, but.
Amen. So Colossians 3:13, I had it written here, so I wanted to see what it was. It says, Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Hallelujah. And hopefully, you know, and not everybody that you need to make an amends with is a Christ follower. So, you know, there's a certain, we can't have high expectations on certain things. We're not doing it. We're doing it, like James says, to please the Lord. He's our one audience. It shouldn't be for any other reason. Amen. You know, amen. Romans 12:20 says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coal on his head. When you turn the mirror to you, you get an opportunity to glorify God. So this is what this really is meaning. And this is step six. This is changing. We change first. So you kill them with kindness. I say it all the time. There's truth in that. We can kill the enemy, not the person, but the spirit on that person with kindness, love, patience. It does kill the enemy.
Yeah, I always think, because some people will do it, like, they'll believe that, like, yeah, poor heart, coals on
the
head.
And that's not,
like,
what we have.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not, they do that. Yeah,
of course. At least,
and I'm like, that's not really the heart that God's looking for.
Amen. But it's really so that the enemy must flee. Love covers a multitude of sin. We want to be able to do that for everyone. You know, so when we turn the mirror to me, you know, I get an opportunity to glorify God. So that's what it is. It's like, okay, how can I rise above this? So warning against worldliness, finding my identity in people, places, and things. Worldliness is, I look at it as arrogance. You know, I know, you know, the world's views, everything about what the world says, right? The quality of being experienced and sophisticated, concerned with material values or ordinary life rather than a spiritual existence. And then sophisticated to me is prideful in a way, you know, like a hoardy. I'm above it. And I have arrived. That's what that is, that feeling. And we talk about that in the Big Book, when that sense of ease and comfort, I have arrived, when you drink and it gives you that false identity. You feel more strong, you feel more sexy, you feel all these things, more confident, and when you speak, you know, more like bold. And it's all lies. It's the same thing with the other spirits, you know.
There's, I always wondered about, because fear kind of goes out the window with drinking. All the other spirits manifest. If you have a lust problem, that manifests. If you have a fighting problem, you want to fight. But I was like, I don't know if it dampens that part of the brain or that spirit uses, but because, I mean, everybody gets confident when they drink.
Right?
Yeah, let me
die. I know. Like, everything. I can dance better. I can, you know, to drive better. You know, horrible.
That's the problem with drinking and driving, is they think they can drive.
That's it, right? So it's revealing or proceeding from a great deal of worldly experience and knowledge of fashion and culture and, you know, the great I am. So, and that's synthetic knowledge, the synthetic man, the man that relies on worldly systems and beliefs and goods, material goods, to be validated or to be accepted from others. So, worldly versus godly knowledge, James 4:1-2 says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Hallelujah. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. We're not asking the right God for the things that we need, because he supplies all our needs. So we're looking around for the things that we desire and we never get satisfied. And then, because we're looking at the wrong things to satisfy us, people, places, and things.
You're going
to
read the next part of that word. It says, okay. And when you do ask, you ask amiss.
Amiss.
Assuming to consume it upon your lust.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Do you want me to read it?
No, that's okay. That's all right. I'm just saying, it's like, yeah. What are you asking for?
Amen.
To a self-centered thing. And he does give us things, but especially when you're really young in the Lord, crazy things.
And he gives it to prepare us for the things that of his desire. And
he's trying to get our hearts to his heart, where we're more worried about our neighbor than ourselves, you know, as far as, you know. Amen. Yeah, I got a one-year-old car, I got to trade it in. It's like, what about the neighbor that's walking?
Amen.
Afford a car, you know.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:12-13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, hallelujah, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in word, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, and I think this was what Nicodemus's problem was when he was having that conversation. I don't know if Nicodemus, I mean, I pray that he did come to Christ eventually, but I believe he may have. But at that moment, he was not, even though he had, what was it that I said? He had worldliness and sophistication as a rabbi, as a Pharisee. He wasn't spiritual because he didn't have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And God was trying to tell him that. So the only thing that can make me a spiritual person, not yoga, not crystals, not the horoscope.
You can make you spiritual, but not God spiritual.
Not godly spiritual, right. Well, it could make me worldly spiritual and demonically spiritual, not tarot cards, right? All those things, but only Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God, the word of God. Is what I should be reading and relying on, and the Holy Spirit leads and guides us and directs us in it. Hallelujah. So, and we impart this in word, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're a spiritual person. So, and the only way we can grow in our spiritual nature is by obedience to the Holy Spirit, following Jesus, staying in step with the Spirit of God in us, in the Word. 2 Corinthians 7:9-10 says, as it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting, hallelujah. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Whereas worldly grief, misery, distress, sorrow, shame, all those things, trouble, annoyance, produces death. So willingness to will, which is to do, to convert to love. We live, breathe, and act on love. We should be in all our affairs. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. So if God abides in me and me in him, then I will walk and live by the Spirit and not by myself. And that by myself is my sight, my will, the way I want to see things, right? So Matthew 6:12, we'll end with this. And then James, if you want to say a couple words or pray, that would be good. First, I'll say Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Matthew 6:12, we started with this, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So what do you think, James? Good?
Yeah, and I just, you know, forgiveness is so, you have no idea how much freer you'll be when you do forgive. You feel like you're letting go of something, but you're only, they say it's like drinking poison to kill the other person.
We should have done that in five. Now we're asking for forgiveness. Praise the Lord. And I do want to say one other thing before we pray out, James, that step eight cultivates, grows, produces brotherly love. That's the fruit that we get. And brotherly love is the compassion for another, grace and mercy that we should have. So when we go, we're asking for grace and mercy, but we need to know what it looks like. So
yeah, all right. Go ahead and pray.
Oh, Father God, we just love you so much. We love the ability to be able to just, you know, have these conversations open with you, Father, and with your listeners. You assigned everyone on this to listen, and maybe even in the future to hear this program, because you have a message for everyone here today. And we just hope that every heart opens up, every mind to hear your calling, to know that it's you, that it's calling them to come into you, into your love, so that they can give the love to another person. And I just want to say that you're listening to WCNO, and we love you guys. Shalom, shalom. We agape you, and we'll talk next week. Have a good week.
Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Alzheimer's or dementia are terrible diseases affecting 7 million. Memory issues can be driven by the large number of medications that seniors take. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has a proprietary tool that identifies drug-to-drug interactions that cause cognitive impairment and then prescribes alternatives. In the study of the Alzheimer's Treatment Center's protocol, 75% of the patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. Now open in Port St. Lucie, they may be reached at ATC.AI or 772-298-4477.
Your love never fails me, your truth.